Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
It's time for the Newsmax Daily from Newsmax, America's fastest-growing cable news channel. Now, here's your host, Rob Carson.
Glad to have you on the show today, or with me on the show today, and we have much to get to. Much to get to as the show progresses, but as with any event of any notoriety whatsoever, there have to be some rules. There have to be some rules today, and you have to understand these rules if you are going to proceed with the next 3 hours hanging out with me. And let me just explain some of those rules, because there are a lot of things going on in the world. There's a Supreme Court nominee in front of houses of Congress getting, you know, confirmed. And by the way, I'll just go ahead and say it right now. She's going to be the justice. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a done deal already. So all of this is falderall. No matter what happens, they can honestly bring up the, you know, hey, she killed a bunch of baby harp seals. She clubbed them to death and made, you know, a designer jacket out of their pelts. And, you know, nobody would care. It really wouldn't matter at all. So the Republicans are going to point to the fact that Ketanji Jackson is very soft on crime, is, I think, probably a metaphor for what's wrong with the Democrat Party and crime in America. But that's okay, because you know what? She's a black woman. She's the first black woman who will be on the Supreme Court. And the Democrats get to check that box, even though they filibustered a black Supreme Court nominee years and years ago before she could even get on the stage. That happened when George W. Bush was the president. But never mind that. They've got their box to check, and they checked the box, and they're going to get the box. So, just thought you should know, everything that you see the next couple of days at these Supreme Court hearings are nonsense and falderall, and they will mean absolutely nothing, because she's going to be the next Supreme Court justice replacing Stephen Breyer. So you know. Just thought you should know. Now, will some points be raised? Sure. Will some, you know, will the Republicans be very polite? And will they play by Marcus of Queensbury rules, unlike the Democrats play when we have a nominee in front of Congress? Of course they will. They will throw softballs, and they will attempt to show what's real about this woman. And it is clear that she is soft on crime. It appears that she is a liberal. It appears she has a soft spot for the 1619 Project, which shows to me that she's very, very radical. That said, she spoke very nicely yesterday and all of this, and, you know, and everybody's in the get-along gang here. And again, did I mention that she's a black female, which, of course, you can't say anything about her because, you know, you're a racist. So here are the rules that you need to know. A, if you are a conservative, if you are even a libertarian-leaning conservative like me, here are the rules you need to know today. If you don't support Ketanji Brown Jackson for any reason whatsoever, you are a racist. Just write that down. Write that down. Just be prepared for it, because you are going to be called a racist by everybody, even though you don't even care. If you support voter integrity laws, you are a racist and a Jim Crow supporter. Just thought you should know, just in case you you want to know the rules of the game in the mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party. If you don't think men should be allowed to compete against women as women, you're a transphobe. You are a transphobe. If you don't want preschoolers through third grade taught about sexuality and sex, then you are homophobic. Okay, you're a homophobic. If you think the 2020 election was stolen, like I do, and January 6th was a media-hyped lie, like I do, and January 6th protesters being overpunished, I have an example of that today, like I do, you are a conspiracy theorist. Oh, and you're also an insurrectionist. Yeah, I thought you should know that. And you should be lined up against the wall and shot. If you know COVID-19 was created in a lab for doing just that, building viruses to be weaponized against humans, and that happened in Wuhan, China, you are a xenophobe. At the least, you are a xenophobe, you know, and you hate Chinese people. Let me see here. Oh, if you know the Hunter Biden laptop was real and have known all along, you believe in disinformation and misinformation, even though it was true. And you know it's true because the evidence and all that, still disinformation and misinformation, because the Democrat Party, the mainstream media, and big social media are ignoring the story and have for the last 2 years. If you know business and school lockdowns, masks, and vaccine passports did nothing to prevent COVID and only made life miserable for the world, then you are a science denier. Okay, and I may have to put these on social media so you can write them down and print them off in your cubicle at work or, you know, wherever, so you can show everybody what an awful person you are as a conservative. If you know the Russian dossier was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC, you are a Russian sympathizer. You are in bed with the Ruskies, even though you are in the opposite side politically of Russia and communism and the Soviet Union, unlike the Democrat Party, who's completely down with it, completely down with it. And if you support the police, you hate black people. So all of those things you need to know going in the show today. Remember all of these, because these are the rules that you will be confronted every single day as a conservative. There's a lot of rules, right? They're just a lot of rules. I mean, I can look at Democrat philosophies. I can look at AOC. I can look at Hillary Clinton. I can look at Joe Biden's policy with regard to energy and the economy. I could say they're wrong. There you go. I'm not saying Joe Biden's a racist because he wants the country to go to hell in a handbasket. I'm not saying Joe Biden is some sort of xenophobe because he wants fuel prices to go up. I don't know. I don't throw those out there. I do say that AOC is an idiot. I think that Kamala Harris is an idiot. I think that I have a good amount of acquired evidence that shows they're not very bright people. I also have a good deal of evidence that Joe Biden is experiencing a severe mental decline. And again, all you have to do is compare video of Joe Biden from even 5 years ago versus now. Even worse, 10 years ago versus now. 20 years versus now. I could go on and on. All of these things I say, and I'm not being racist or xenophobic or a science denier or a disseminator of misinformation and disinformation. It's just that I like to do this thing. It's called truth. I like to tell the truth. I like to tell the truth. We have a guy in the White House whose his entire career has been based on a lie. He even got booted from at least one presidential campaign because he lied. So I'm not here to make excuses. I'm not here to call names, although I will use the name idiot every once in a while when it is necessary. But other than that, you know, I just want to tell the truth today and entertain you, possibly inform you. It's going to be hard to inform you because you're a very well-informed audience because you pay attention. I'm just amazed, actually, you know, how many people don't know what the hell is going on in the world. And I get confronted by it every single day in my life. That said, before we dive into the Supreme Court hearings, before we dive into NCAA swimming, see what I did there? Diving into the, okay. Let's talk a little bit about approval ratings and the economy and how it's affecting you and me. And also how Joe Biden officially said the quiet part out loud. He supports a new world order. And I'm not talking about the 80s or was it the 90s wrestling team. Remember, the New World Order was like this. I was never really into pro wrestling that much. But anyway, President Joe Biden's national approval rating is dangerously low, 36%. Impacting races down ballot in battleground states. 55% disapprove of Biden's performance. Independents are majorly dragging down the president's polling numbers. Among independents, only 24% approved of Biden. 66% disapproved. This is not as bad as the pre-2020 election. And we all know how that election was stolen by Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, and Mark Zuckerberg, and the Hunter Biden avoidance of the Hunter Biden laptop story. In Georgia, a state where Donald Trump narrowly lost to Biden in 2020 because it was one of those battleground states that shut down the vote counting at midnight and then restarted the next morning with gigantic vote counts for Joe Biden, like 95 to 97, even 99% for Joe Biden, not a Donald Trump, showing that ballot boxes were stuffed. Only 32% of Georgians approve of Biden. 58% disapprove. Biden's approval rating in Georgia may greatly impact the race for the governor. We'll see. Arizona, where Trump lost by 10,000, another battleground state where the voting stopped. Really weird how that happens. Biden's approval rating just 35%. Nevada also has low approval ratings for Biden. 35% approved Biden, 58% disapproved. This would all show that Joe Biden is going to lose handily. His party is going to lose handily in November. And then Joe Biden at a business roundtable CEO quarterly meeting to discuss the United States' response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, said the quiet part out loud as far as a new world order. And listen, I haven't done all that much research on the new world order because it's very conspiratorial sounding. Do I think that there are a number of a cabal of people, by the way, who believe that there should be no world order led by the United States? Yeah. Do I believe that there are people who want to lower the boat of the United States and instead of raising up the boats of S-hole countries, as Donald Trump said? Absolutely, 100%. And do I believe that Democrats really hate the United States of America? Absolutely, I do believe that because they want to change it. They want to change it fundamentally. That said, here is Joe Biden yesterday.
You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy, not just the world economy.
Yeah, it's going to crap.
World occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day.
A secured meeting, so you probably wouldn't say anything about it because it was a secured meeting, but he's going to do it anyway.
60 million people died between 1900 and 1946.
Let's not forget the 100 million who were killed by communism and socialism last century.
And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened.
Led by the United States as a beacon of freedom, by the way.
Happened in a long while. A lot of people died, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to.
Yeah, well, we've been doing that, Junior. We've been doing that for a very long time. It's just you want to bring us down.
Wake up.
Oh, you know, everything's going up in price, including airline tickets, actually. I'm going to be flying a couple of places and noticed a pretty dramatic increase in the cost of flying. Domestic airline prices have spiked 36% this year. Amid an increase in demand and skyrocketing fuel prices, recent data shows round-trip flights within the U.S. currently cost around $300 on average, making for a 36% increase since the beginning of this year. Could see even higher costs in the coming months. Of course it will. Of course it will. And, you know, you already have to pay how much for carrying on a bag and all of this stuff. You know, does it come as a big surprise? No, not really. Not really. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, and I don't want to get you all fogging over here with, oh, he's going to talk about interest rates. The only thing I'm going to say is that they're raising interest rates to combat aggressive inflation. And so if you're going to refi your home, might want to consider that right about now if you can. I'm just saying, I'm not. All I know is that the last time there was a real estate bubble, I got hosed, and that was in Washington, D.C. I was speaking to someone earlier this last week about the possibility of a real estate bubble, and he said, nah, because we don't have the subprime mortgage crisis with people getting $600,000 loans and only making $35,000 a year. That happened in like 2005, 2006. Not going to see that. But it looks like interest rates are going to be ticking up ever so slightly, and I have said from the very beginning that when you combine the gas lines, when the Colonial Pipeline shut down, the dependency on OPEC to pump our oil, and inflation, and of course, now interest rate hikes, it takes us back to another presidency, which is, of course, the Carter presidency. And this is the theme song for that. It's called Welcome Back, Carter.
Welcome back to Jimmy Carter 2.0. Welcome back. He's the same bad pres, but his name is Joe. Well, the names have all changed since Jim was around.
He can't remember.
But the swamp that remains can't be turned around.
They're still there.
Joe's killing off the nation. Killing
New
off
World
the
Order.
Nation. Say hello to stagflation.
Hello to stagflation.
Yeah, we tease him a lot. Cause brain cells he ain't got. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Second verse.
Welcome back.
Not same as the first.
Welcome back. It cost an arm to fill your car. Welcome back. Your paycheck's the same and it don't go far. Joe pulled all the troops from Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is screwed up. I guess that's his plan. He's an Obama puppet.
Obama puppet.
Let's go tell him to the stuff. Tell him.
Let's go, Brandon.
The worst in history. That's why we chant FJB. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
You got the vaccination? or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're. No, I really mean.
There you go. And, of course, gas prices are everybody else's fault.
I'm going to work like the devil to bring gas prices down.
I will do what needs to be done to reduce the price you pay at the pump.
Even if we drilled as much as we could, the price of oil is still set globally.
This Keystone Pipeline, it would take years for that to have an impact on prices.
There's an impediment to production in the United States, and it's called the bankers on Wall Street.
It's everybody else's fault. And this is funny. Before we dive into Ketanji Brown and all of this stuff, this is the way you could save some money. This is the now kind of happening on the national news. They're starting to tell you how you could save money. Yesterday we heard from Bloomberg one of the ways you could save money is to not give your dog chemo if he's dying. Just let him die because it's too expensive. I'm not kidding. What you have to do if you want to save money when you're driving is just drive like a complete D-bag.
Why burn fuel if you don't have to?
That is Wayne Gerdes' gospel.
And he is a Prius driver.
Especially driving in Southern...
Nothing against Priuses, this guy's just a D-bag.
California, home to the nation's highest gas prices, coming in about $2 a gallon more than a year ago.
Are you really getting 87 miles to the gallon?
Yeah, I'm getting well over 80 miles per gallon.
Gerdes is a world-class hypermiler, someone who goes to great lengths to stretch
and a world-class
their fuel economy. He's managing about 60% more miles than the EPA says his plug-in Prius hybrid should be getting.
I'll explain why he's getting such good mileage, and it has nothing to do with gas.
This is very much a slow and steady approach to driving.
Yeah, you've hit it with that.
Wayne always follows the speed limit, even on the freeway.
This road right here is 55 miles per hour. What does 55 miles per hour mean to you?
It means you're going a lot slower.
Okay, here comes the part where he becomes a complete you-know-what.
More than everybody else on the road.
That's okay. They're not buying my gas.
The faster you go, the more fuel you burn.
Yeah.
Speed kills fuel economy. There's no way around it.
And little things add up.
I notice we're not using the air conditioning.
I'll run air conditioning when it gets above 80.
Yeah.
I set it like 76 to 78 degrees. Because I want to just be comfortable.
Some hypermilers make their cars more aerodynamic. Or drive behind semis to reduce wind resistance. Wayne sticks to the slow lane and follows all traffic laws.
The optics can be bad to other drivers.
Yeah, there you go. And he's getting honked at because, you know, he drives like a jerk. Anyway, coming up, champagne socialist AOC is being mocked after ranting about capitalism on the interweb. And then we're going to talk about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson and the woman who wasn't, the Republican woman who was a black female with an incredible record of jurisprudence and very highly accredited and completely filibustered by Joe Biden. Yeah, but now everything's fine, I guess. Hey guys, it's Carson. I want to talk to you about GenuCell plant stem therapy. I've been using this for around 10 years now. And people say the puffiness and bags under your eyes are the hardest thing to get rid of until now. One of the things that I've discovered in life is the older you get, the worse you look in the morning. And with its instant effects, GenuCell is guaranteed to show results in as little as 12 hours or your money back. Users saw results in only 12 hours with dramatic improvement in 2 weeks, and I can attest to it. GenuCell contains 8 extra ingredients to significantly reduce the appearance of bags and puffiness. Plus, GenuCell uses patented plant stem cell technology to improve longevity and brilliant long-term results. Now, go to GenuCell.com/Carson right now to try risk-free. Enter my promo code Carson10 at the checkout for an additional 10% off today. That's GenuCell.com/Carson. So we know that Ketanji Brown Jackson is a nominee for Supreme Court Justice to fill in Justice Stephen Breyer. If you know, you've been in radio a number of years. When I remember writing comedy about Stephen Breyer's nomination for the Rush Limbaugh program back in about 1990. You know, you've been doing this a while. And he's retiring, and Jackson is going to be the black woman that the Democrats have all been waiting for. And we will be made to forget the treatment of Republican nominees for the Supreme Court, including Clarence Thomas. We all remember that debacle. We remember Robert Bork. I don't really remember Robert Bork's nomination, but I know that he was, a verb actually came out from it. He was borked. And when you get treated like absolute crap and shredded and persecuted for nonsense, then you get borked. Of course, Brett Kavanaugh had a dingbat from his past in high school, couldn't remember what year an incident happened at a party back in the 80s. None of her friends could corroborate it. She didn't remember what house, what year, where, or anything, but she was made some sort of a hero. And despite a brilliant career as a justice and also just a stellar career as a family man and community leader, they attempted to destroy Brett Kavanaugh. Of course, Amy Coney Barrett was a little more civil, but not much. Here is Lindsey Graham pointing out the double standard that Democrats have with regard to Supreme Court nominees.
Most of us couldn't go back to our offices during Kavanaugh without getting spit on. Hope that doesn't happen to y'all. I don't think it will. As to the historic nature of your appointment, I understand. But when I get lectured about this from my Democratic colleagues, I remember Janice Rogers Brown, African-American woman. It was filibustered by the same people praising you.
That was Joe Biden.
Remember Miguel Estrada, one of the finest people I ever met. Completely wiped out. Didn't make it through the gang of 14.
Because you can only check boxes when they're Democrats. So they get their note in the history books, even though they have a history, an extensive history, extending more than a century of abject racism.
Well-lived life just completely ruined. So if you're Hispanic or African-American conservative, it's about your philosophy. Now it's going to be about the historic nature of the pick.
100%. Here is Ted Cruz echoing the same sentiment.
Judge Jackson, I can assure you that your hearing will feature none of that disgraceful behavior.
And no Republicans will burn down cities if you don't get the nomination.
No one is going
to... Or I should say the confirmation.
...inquire into your teenage dating habits. No one is going to ask you with mock severity, do you like beer? That's not to say this hearing should be non-substantive and non-vigorous.
And it will be both of these, and ultimately she will get confirmation. Here is Marsha Blackburn talking about the crux of the issue with Judge Ketanji Jackson, and it's not because of race. It's because she's really, 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 really soft on crime, which is not something that is unfamiliar to Democrat municipalities with Democrat leadership.
Moms that I'm speaking with raise the issue of crime, and you've consistently called for greater freedom for hardened criminals. At the start of the COVID...
I believe they tried that in cities like New York, where there's a 200% increase in mass transit crime just in the last month.
19 pandemic, you advocated, and again, I quote, for each and every criminal defendant in the D.C. Department of Corrections custody should be released. That would have been 1,500 criminals back on the street if you had had your way.
Because COVID...
And you use the COVID-19 pandemic as justification to release a fentanyl drug dealer, a bank robber addicted to heroin, and a convict who murdered a U.S. Marshal.
Other than that, they were great people.
Into our communities. But your efforts to protect convicts began long before the pandemic.
Again, not a position that is unfamiliar to Democrats.
You used your time and talent not to serve our nation's veterans or other vulnerable groups, but to provide free legal services to help terrorists get out of Gitmo and go back to the fight.
And, of course, we also have a vice president who raised money to get terrorists out of jail who burned down American cities. We do have that. So, you know, it's not like this is coming out of left field. Here is Senator Cory Booker I hope he had the lip balm because, I mean, he did some major booty kissing yesterday with regard to the historical nature of Judge Jackson Brown.
This is not a normal day for America.
Jackson Brown, he's not Jackson Brown. Okay.
We have never had this moment before. And I just want to talk about the joy. I know tomorrow. And
Brown Jackson, not Jackson Brown.
Coming hearings, we're going to have tough, hard questions. But please, let me just acknowledge the...
You're thinking of the song Running on Empty right now. It's in your head, isn't it?
Fact that this is not normal. It's never happened before.
Oh, yes.
Senate is poised right now to break another bat barrier. We are...
Break another bat barrier.
On the precipice of shattering another ceiling.
No, you see, it would have been breaking a bat over the head of somebody if it were a Republican nominee. Let's hear Cory Booker suck up again.
This is not a normal day for America.
No, because you're here.
We have never had this moment before. And I
guess we almost did, but Joe Biden filibustered her.
I just want to talk about the joy. I know tomorrow and the coming hearings were tough, hard questions, but please.
Why wasn't it joyful in 2005? I don't know.
Let me just acknowledge the fact that this is not.
Oh, sorry. 2003.
Not normal. It's never happened before. The Senate is poised right now to break another bat barrier. We are on the precipice of shattering another ceiling.
They were on the precipice of breaking another bat. Speaking of which, Cory Booker last night was on MSNBC talking to Joy Reid, who is a rabid racist, and of course comparing Jackson to none other than Jackie Robinson.
That she is like Jackie Robinson was, somebody that was probably overqualified to be in the National Baseball League, but
all those other Republicans, they were complete morons, but she's a genius.
Came forward
because D
and showed us the full talent and array of American potential.
And by the way, also, somebody compared Leah Thomas, the swimmer, the famed swimmer. NBC actually compared her, him, he, they, whatever, Leah Thomas to Jackie Robinson, the first American to play professional baseball on the white teams. So kind of interesting, throwing around the name and the legacy of Jackie Robinson. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Jackie Brown, the movie. I'm thinking of Jackie Robinson, and I'm thinking of Jackson Brown, the singer. It's confusing. It's confusing. We have a special guest, and I do mean that because I've had Luke Rosiak on my show a number of times in different iterations, Washington, D.C., Kansas City, and now on my nationally syndicated radio program. Luke Rosiak is the author of Race to the Bottom, Uncovering the Secret Forces Destroying American Public Education. He's an investigative reporter working with the Daily Caller and others, and he joins us on the Newsmax hotline right now. Luke, it's good to catch up, man. How you doing?
I'm great. It's good to be with you again, Rob.
Man, I'll tell you, this is fascinating stuff. I have, years ago, I came up with an expression. You know, we have a big oil and we have big tech and all this. I said in this country that we have a gigantic, it's not even a cottage industry anymore. It's a massive industry. It's called big offense. School districts are willing to go and companies are willing to go to extreme measures with no holds barred as far as money spent on stopping things that offend people. You kind of have been investigating this for a while. You were the guy who uncovered the story in Loudoun County of the boy identifying as a girl who used a bathroom, sexually assaulted a girl, and then the story was covered up by the Loudoun County School Board. Why don't you tell us briefly about that, and we'll get to some other instances and your book as well.
Sure. Well, in Loudoun, basically, there was a girl that was raped in a bathroom, a ninth grade girl, by a boy wearing a skirt and a girl's blouse. And 3 weeks later, the school board wanted to pass a transgender policy that would allow transgender kids to use the girls' bathrooms. And so the parents asked, well, can this cause problems? And the superintendent lectured them and said they're all bigots and that there has never been any sexual assault in any Loudoun County bathroom. Well, the dad of the victim was in the audience, and understandably, he got very mad. He said, you're lying. And so they arrested him, put his face all over the national news as this example of a white supremacist bigot out, you know, being a domestic terrorist at school board meetings. And so basically, you know, they arrested they tried to put the dad in jail. They never put the actual rapist in jail. They lied and they transferred the rapist and he went on to sexually assault a different girl in school. So basically, they were willing to harm kids to advance their weird agenda. And people, there's kind of a misconception about Loudoun. People think the problem is, the takeaway here is that Virginia schools are uniquely bad. And that is not the case. I mean, I wrote about Loudoun, frankly, because I live here. It was the laziest way for me to apply my investigative skills.
Yes.
The same problems are in every school district. So what I've done now is what I did for Loudoun, I'm doing for the whole country. I tackle 61 school districts in this book. And it explains how parents can do the same thing I did, make sure that there's not these bad influences taking root in your school district, because if you don't do the work, you know, there's people out there that are basically trying to take your kids from you.
Well, why does the mainstream media, why do Democrats say that CRT isn't being taught when it's painfully obvious that it is? Why? What gives them the audacity to say something like that when just a little bit of journalistic curiosity would prove otherwise?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I saw this guy on TV just like everyone else did, and they were dragging him away. He had a bloody face because the cops beat him up. And no one thought to ask, okay, well, why was he mad at that school board meeting? And so that's really all I did is I called him up, and he told me exactly why. And frankly, he had very good reason to be mad. And probably most of us as fathers, I don't know if many of us could have exercised as much restraint as he did. And so what I found is that they're harming kids this way all the time to make the schools look better. One example is with discipline. Beginning in the Obama administration, they started talking about a school-to-prison pipeline, which basically meant a lot of black boys were being suspended, and so we should make the rates of suspensions by race equal. And so in Los Angeles, over only a couple of years, suspensions went from 75,000 to only 5,000. And so they basically stopped enforcing rules in school. Now, the problem is, it's not as if all the behavior of those kids improved. They were still assaulting people. They were just letting them get away with it. And so there was kids, especially Asian kids and things like that, who were just getting beaten to a pulp, and administrators were just doing nothing about it so that they could look good. And so what I found over 2 years investigating the school system nationwide is uncovering that there's a ton of different ways where they're always manipulating statistics to conceal the problems from parents. And the problem is when you hide a problem rather than address it, the problem only gets worse.
Well, Luke, I've been very involved in inner city violence and preventing it and trying to change lives. And there are some societal issues that are painfully obvious if you just stop and say enough is political correctness and realize that the black-on-black murder rate is 13 times the national average. Don't you suppose that that would translate to the possibility that this could be acted out in America's schools? But America's schools, they want everything to be even. I know that, for instance, at the number one high school in America, Lincoln, in, is it Fairfax or Loudoun? But they literally decided they would change the admin policy to not be based on merit, but to be based on the color of one's skin. I do believe that Osra Nomani was leading the charge against that, and it just won a court victory with regard to it. But it sounds like there are multiple fronts here to cover up discrepancies between nationalities or races with regard to crime or discipline issues, pushing a sexualization of children, it appears, and then also the transgenderism and the CRT. So, I mean, there are a number of things here that are being covered up or being considered verboten in America's school. Why is this, Luke? Why is this?
So what I try to show in this book is that when you hear about all the racial stuff, it's not actually about racial stuff. They're using that to cover up their incompetence. And so really the crime is worse than the cover-up. And the crime is that we're sending out 12th graders with only a 36% literacy rate. It's only a 24% proficiency in math, 11% proficiency in American history. This is deeply embarrassing. We spend $17,000 per year per student on schools, and these administrators and teachers are completely failing at their job. And so when you hear talk all of a sudden about critical race theory, which basically says objectivity isn't real and tests are racist and trying to get the right answer is part of white culture, not black culture, those are insane ideas, but they're also ideas that tend to benefit administrators because it excuses their failures, which are utterly embarrassing, which are serving only to perpetuate whatever racial gaps we have in this country, because obviously the best way to lift people out of poverty is to give them skills they need for jobs.
And you combine this with also COVID restrictions, COVID lockdowns and whatnot. Children, do you have children now, Luke?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You have to be troubled by some of the lockdowns and the bad science that have further complicated and further made life very hard and learning very hard in schools. And it would appear that COVID has been used by unions to let teachers and union members shirk their responsibilities and possibly cover up their ineptitude. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what I document in this book is that the teachers' unions were working with the Democratic Socialists of America. And they said, never let a crisis go to waste, yes, in reference to the coronavirus pandemic. And so they were using it to shut down schools and basically hold your kids hostage to get like $100 billion. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to use it to ram through all these other things that they've always wanted to do, like not do tests. And they call them standardized tests, high-stakes testing. That's all BS. The reason the schools hate testing is because it's the one thing they can't manipulate and lie about. And yeah. So the coronavirus pandemic, they canceled all those tests. And then they started just giving everyone A's. And so there's some teachers out there in school districts who are saying the pandemic is actually great. Grades actually went up. And that just really illustrates how these people are focused on basically putting lipstick on a pig and deceiving people, because everyone knows, I mean, kids were committing suicide and things like that during the pandemic. These kids were utterly abandoned. Mm-hmm. And here they are saying because they got more A's, we can pretend that everything is actually going better than ever.
This has been going on for years. I remember this happening with regard to testing in the city of Atlanta. This is literally a decade ago, where it came out that these test scores had been so profoundly lied about that it essentially failed a generation of kids in the Atlanta schools. And now we're seeing, you live right near Baltimore, and Baltimore, their public school system is absolutely abysmal. And I'm afraid we have lost a generation of children because of this. Do you suppose that what happened in Loudoun County that you discovered, and people like Azra Noumani, who I'm sure you are familiar with, do you suppose that you and she and others have created an earthquake in this country that possibly will turn this around?
Yes, I think we absolutely can. And this isn't even about Democrats versus Republicans. It's about parents versus special interests and special interests versus children. It's basically the people that want to use schools as an employment center for incompetent teachers and as a vehicle for accessing children to use them in their bizarre ideological experiments. They can't win against parents because we outnumber them if we pay attention. And so, you know, those people that you mentioned, including myself, I think we've done a lot of work to make people realize what's going on. But here's where the parents pick up. And that's what I've tried to do with this book, is give parents the tools they need and explain the jargon. They really try to trick you with this jargon and make it so like, oh, you don't have a PhD in education, so you can't understand what we're talking about. This book gives you the confidence to say, look, here's what they're trying to do here. Here's how they're tricking you. Here's how you counteract it. So you can go to those school board meetings with courage and confidence and really put these people in their place because, you know, frankly, I and Azra and those other people, we can't come to every one of the 13,000 school districts in America. But what I found is that it's everywhere. It's in Iowa, it's in Indiana, it's in Texas. And so parents have got to kind of take things into their hands now, because when they don't, it creates a vacuum. And what I show in this book is some really bad people are filling that vacuum.
Luke, I have always appreciated you as an investigative reporter, and now as an author, Race to the Bottom, Uncovering the Secret Forces Destroying American Public Education. I have witnessed this with my daughter, with regard to missing an entire half of her freshman year in high school, doing hybrid learning the first half of her sophomore year. And I've seen people like her, even in conservative states, and I live in a conservative state, conservative county, I've seen this happening. I would encourage people to get this book if you got kids, if you got grandkids. Race to the Bottom, Uncovering the Secret Forces Destroying American Public Education. Luke, I consider you a premier journalist in the country. Congratulations on your book. Continued success, and I'd love to have you on again sometime, okay?
Thank you so much, Rob.
Thanks for listening to the Newsmax Daily with Rob Carson. Check your cable guide or NewsmaxTV.com or watch free on YouTube, Roku, Apple, Pluto, Zumo, Amazon Fire, and your smart TV. Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Check NewsmaxTV.com for details.